You're listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Paddy Pigskin. I'm your host, Gary Somerville, in association with DraftKings. We are down in New York this week for a very special episode. We are interviewing our first ever NFL player, and he's another Paddy. That man is Pat Murray, kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are here at his GAA club, Rockland, New York. We're sitting down with him. Myself and Barry are going to chat to him about his history kicking balls of different shapes. Started off as a GAA player. Now he's in the NFL. We're going to chat about his rise to the top, how he maintains a status as an NFL player, and just some general questions about what it's like to be a pro in the National Football League. And like I said, we're here at his GAA club. He has a lot of family, friends, and many fans here listening to us. So stay tuned. Really exciting episode coming up this week on a very special Paddy Pigskin.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it? Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
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 So we are here with Pat Murray, place kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We finally have you here on the show. What better place to have you on than your own GAA club, Rockland, here in New York. Pat, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's good to finally be on.
Yeah. We have a big Buccaneers fan here with Barry.
Yeah, I can see. He's got the shirt and everything.
I know. It's like probably a little bit too much with the shirt and the cup and everything.
Not
between,
at all.
But
it's
like,
just
it's a cool thing, though, just growing up there and actually getting to see, like, especially for the past 4+ years, like, there's always been this kicking question, and to see that it actually really came into place really nicely this year.
Yep.
To be able to talk and just, like, you know, get your perspective on these things. So, again, thank you for coming on.
So we're doing two things at once here. We're on Facebook Live for anybody that's watching. We're also hello to everybody both sides of the pond. We're also recording a podcast which will be out tomorrow. So first thing I want to ask is, how's the body? It's the off season for you now, kind of recovering. How's the legs? What's an off season look like for you as a kicker?
Well, thankfully this year I didn't have to deal with any injuries, so my body feels great. I'm actually rested. I don't have to rehab an injury, which is what I've had to do the last two off seasons.
Yeah.
So right now it's just yoga, Pilates, some weight training, and we'll ramp it up as we get more toward April, and I'm going to predict I'm going to be in the best shape of my life.
Good.
We definitely hope you are in that sense. One weird thing with that too is because, like, we always wonder when we think about weight training, like, we always think of the stereotypical, you know, bench press, squats, things like that. And I know that in the sense of kicking, it's not always about just adding mass. It's about keeping that flexibility as you go. So kind of how does that look different for you in that sense?
Well, for me, I do everything that a normal football player would do. So I'll bench and I'll squat and I'll deadlift. I like to do a lot of Olympic lifting as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the main components of my training.
That's awesome.
Because for me, that Olympic lifting motion, that snapping of the hips, correlates very well to kicking a football. And I'll also do a lot of single leg things because, as you know, my job pretty much depends on me doing something on one leg. So a couple of different variations of different exercises. But for the most part, you got to be an athlete to kick, so you got to be able to do everything.
Yeah,
makes complete sense.
You're a bit of a celebrity around these parts. There's a meet and greet going on afterwards, but there's a lot of people here already, so you're definitely a big member of the community here in Rockland GAA. So before we get on to the nitty-gritty interview, we normally do a beer review here on Paddy Pigskin. So we thought, you're a Buccaneer, so we'll go with something pirate-related. So for the next hour or so, we're going to try Pirate Belgian Ale, and we'll give our little review at the end. You can stick to the water. You're a professional athlete, so we're only the bar stooler,
yeah.
So we'll just have a beer here. So a lot of Irish people may have seen a few articles about you before, and some people that follow our podcast may not have heard about your story before. So just a little bit of history. Your dad is here. He hails from Monaghan, I believe.
Yeah.
Played Gaelic football at a high level. Your two uncles also, I believe, one is an all-star and one isn't.
Well,
bit of family banter there that one is and one isn't?
Well, Kieran's an all-star, and it's very well-deserved. But Brendan should have been an all-star as well.
Okay.
You know, back in the day when Kerry were winning everything and there was a lot of political things going on within the GAA, he was passed over for probably somebody from Kerry. Sorry, any Kerry listeners. But look, Brendan Murray marked some of the best forwards in the country at the time, and he should have been given an all-star. So, Brendan, you have an all-star from me.
So is that the equivalent of a Pro Bowl snub then?
Yeah.
Like if he was on Twitter these days, would he be tweeting that they snubbed him for the all-star? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't want Uncle Brendan on Twitter.
So you alluded before that you spent a lot of summers travelling to Ireland, and I believe you kicked a lot of footballs in Clonus and places around Ireland and stuff like that. So you definitely have GAA in your blood. Was it a natural progression, really? Like, I mean, you've gone from kicking around football over a crossbar, now you're kicking a different shaped object over another crossbar. Was it something that just came naturally to you, or did you kind of have to adjust your kicking style, or how did it all come together for you?
Well, it did come very naturally. My dad's the one who taught me how to kick not only a Gaelic football and an American football, but a soccer ball. So for me, it did come very naturally. It's a very natural swing. We say it all the time, you have to be a natural kicker out there. Mm-hmm. Whatever your swing is, make that your swing and perfect it. And yeah, truthfully, without the GAA and kicking a Gaelic ball and dad and mom bringing me over to Ireland every year and us kicking ball in St. Tiernach's Park, kicking it over the black spot, I still say that to myself every training session. Mm-hmm. Kick it over the black spot. You know, you're always looking to hit that ball down the middle. So without that kind of background, there's no way that I could be where I am right now.
Sure. And I remember Johnny Wilkinson used to have this superstition that he used to picture an old lady behind the goal, and he would try and hit that old lady with the ball. Is that, do you just aim for the black spot, or have you got any kind of superstitions when you're lining up, regardless of what you're kicking, football, either Gaelic football or American football?
I look way past the goalpost when I'm kicking. I usually look to the top of the stadium to a fixed point, and that's my aiming point, and I'll walk off from there and try to hit that point. I'm not worried about the fans behind the goalposts. I'm not worried about any old ladies up in the stands or anything like that. For me, it's a fixed point up above the goalposts, and that's what I'm aiming at.
Okay. And did you just fall into Rockland GAA growing up because this is the area you're from, or did you have a few potential suitors that wanted your services there?
Well, this is the local club, and I think, Marty Hanley, who it was my coach back in the day here, he's from Monaghan as well. He played against my two uncles growing up, and I guess he got in contact with Dad, or Dad just found out about this club and brought me over. And I had always wanted to play Gaelic on a team. You know, we'd go over and we'd play and we'd train with Clonus whenever we'd go back there, but I was never really on a team. So then coming here, and it looks a lot different than when I first started playing.
It's a fantastic
beautiful clubhouse. The pitch is in immaculate shape always. They've done a really great job here. But it was great to finally get to be able to be part of a team. And, you know, Gaelic is my first love, and it will always be my first love. It's what I come back to. I still go train with a Gaelic ball today.
Yeah.
So it's a massive part of what I do.
Fantastic. There's a real sense of, I remember when I came over to New York in 2006 when we first J1, I was like, let's go play some Gaelic football when we're not too hungover. And we found the Dublin GAA club in, I think they train in Van Cortlandt Park.
Yeah.
And I remember our first day going down to training, there were lads asking, you know, have you got a place to live? Have you got a job? There was a real sense of, and like the team was full of Americans and Irish guys. Yeah. There was a real sense of family kind of looking out for each other. Yeah. So do you still have clearly you're very popular in the club. Do you still have a strong involvement in the club? Do you spend a lot of time here when you can?
Yeah, when I can, absolutely. We just had the clubhouse opening here, and I was able to come and be a part of it and auctioned off two of my jerseys and was able to just spend time with the people that are so involved with this club day in and day out. And to see where it was to where it is now, I mean, it's incredible. And for me, just to be a small part of it, to get to enjoy a small part of it, you know, it means the world to me.
Yeah. So moving aside from Gaelic football, we'll move on to your American football career, or football career, whatever you want to call it. 2013, undrafted out of Fordham University. You really came along in your senior year. We were only looking at the stats earlier on, and there was a huge jump in the numbers. You went from, you were primarily punting at the start of your college career, then you moved on to a little bit more kicking, and I believe you went up from about 50% to 83% in your senior year, which was good enough for FCS All-American. Was there any reason behind the explosion in the numbers and the success you're kicking?
We had a coaching change. So the new head coach that came in was Joe Moorhead, who then went on to Penn State, spent two great years there, and is now taking the head job at Mississippi State. He came in and he gave me the responsibility of, Pat, you're going to be our punter, you're going to be our field goal kicker. We need you, and you're going to still kick off. So for a guy to do all three things, you know, for me, that was what I was used to in high school. I did all three things in high school. It was what I was used to. It was what I wanted to do. The coaches that were there previously just didn't get it. And that's fair enough. It is what it is. When Coach Moorhead came in, gave me the responsibility, the onus was on me to think, all right, I have to be at my best for this team. And my thoughts did creep to, you know, eventually I want to try to get to the NFL, so I got to put together a really good year. And that year, you know, All-American at two positions, you know, set all these records. It was a great year, great year overall, and I had a great time playing there. And it definitely helped set me on the right path to playing in the NFL.
Yeah, you really, you finished. They say it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And you really, you finished extremely well there at Fordham. So 2014, signed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You beat out veteran Connor Barth, and you were on the roster for the whole season. Then 2015 comes along. You get an injury, a leg injury. And where's your head at this stage? You know, you kind of, you had this amazing end to your college career. You latch on to an NFL team, and all of a sudden you're kind of back to square one in a way after this injury.
Well, there's two ways you can go about it. You feel sorry for yourself. Why does this happen to me? Poor me, this, that, and the other thing. Or you could look at it as another challenge, another obstacle you have to clear to get to where you want to go. I wouldn't have been able to do that without the support of my parents and the people that, you know, I love that are closest to me. And I took it as a challenge to get better and to come back stronger, win another job, and continue to kick in the NFL, because I've proven that I can do that at a very high level, and I wanted to continue to prove that. My goals are very lofty. It wasn't just to get there. It was to become the best, to win a Super Bowl, all these different things. So for my career to end with an ACL injury, I wasn't going to have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess to that point, it's kind of interesting, though, because, like, obviously you set the goal, like, I'm going to continue to be here, and you proved it again, like, the next season, 2016, you win the job in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Talk us through what that happens, though, when you kind of come back from that, you know, very hard injury to get back, get the job, and then tear your ACL there. It's like, then to lose the entire 2016 season from game two on, like, is it kind of like you reset to the same mindset, or is it almost harder to kind of reset yourself because, you know, it's two seasons in a row that that's kind of happened?
No, like, I don't think it was harder. I think because I had just done it, I knew, okay, I knew what I had to do to get back here. Yep. It happened again. All right, let's go attack it again. Maybe tweak a couple of things that we did, train a little bit differently. And fortunately, you know, knock on wood, it's strong as ever.
That's good to hear. So, and I mean, it's reflected in the stats. You went 19 for 23 field goals, good for 83%. You had 250-yarders.
Yep.
Saints and Bills. Yep. League average is 84%. You're on the money.
Right.
When it comes to field goals, 21 out of 22 extra points.
Yeah.
Again, you know, can't really argue with those stats.
We're not happy with that.
We were discussing on the way. We're like, was he annoyed that he missed that one kick?
I'm annoyed when I miss anything.
Yeah,
and if you're not, then you're not. You shouldn't be in that position.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's kind of just the nature of it too. Yeah. You have to be a perfectionist in that sense to want to go for a job like this to begin with. Like the people who find it this far, the people who have the drive to be perfectionists and strive for that every single time.
Exactly.
And you may not know this, but we had a look at some of your how some of your stats shape up against some notable kickers. You have a better average than Mason Crosby, Sebastian Janikowski, Hall of Famer Martin Anderson, which is to have a better percentage than a Hall of Famer like Martin Anderson's impressive, and David Akers. So keep up the good work. We're glad to hear the leg is as good as ever. You always hear a kicker is in for an audition. You don't really know what goes on. You just hear there's a battle, you know, to get two or three kickers in. We don't really know what happens.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, you get that phone call, okay, the Bucs want to take a look at me. What goes into a kicking audition when you're battling for a job?
Well, first of all, let's go with Tampa Bay, for example. I was in New Jersey at the time. They called me up and said, all right, Pat, you're going to fly tomorrow to Tampa Bay. We're going to work you out the next morning. You know, be ready at 6:30 a.m. Great. Get on a flight, get down to Tampa. I think my plane was delayed 2 hours, so I got in a little late. Doesn't matter, you know, you got to show up at 6:30 the next morning ready to go.
No.
You go through a full physical, you fill out all these forms of every bit of medical history about yourself you could ever imagine. And if you don't know it, they know it, so it'll all get filled out eventually. And then, you know, you basically go out there and they say, right, you've got 10 kicks from this distance, this distance, this distance, and if you've got four kickoffs, let's see what you got. Mm-hmm. You could go perfect in the workout, and they still might not sign you. Mm-hmm. They might just be looking, okay, if something were to happen to our starter, then mm-hmm. we'd go with this guy.
Yeah.
The mindset that you go in there with, the mindset that I go in there with, is I'm going to go make every kick. I'm going to win this job.
Absolutely,
and that's the kind of mindset you have to have, because if you go in there and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, there's five other guys here. What am I going to do? What's going to happen if I miss? You've already lost.
Yeah. So you really got to be tunnel vision. Forget about all the other guys that are there. You know, all you care about is you. You're there to do a job, win a job.
Yeah. Control what you can control.
Yeah. And I always love that saying in sports, too, because especially in the sense of, like, especially when we think about kicking, too, it's like there's so much that goes into, you know, successful kicks. There's the line blocking the right way to not let guys just run right through.
Yeah.
There's the snap. There's the hold, everything in between, to the point where, like, if you as a kicker are stressing about each part of that mechanic, you're instantly going to be less focused on what you have to be doing. So the idea of this ball is going to get here, I'm going to kick it right there, I'm staring at the very back of that, like top of the stadium, back behind the field goal post, I'm focusing on exactly what I need to do. Yeah, makes complete sense.
So we'll touch on Hard Knocks. Myself and Barry, throughout the course of the show, we kind of did a little review after each episode, and I think obviously one of the main talking points was the kicking issues they were having.
Right.
The second round draft pick from Florida State University, Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah.
The best kicker in the history of the NCAA.
Right.
Stats wise, he was having problems. They seemed to really focus on the problems he was having. Were you looking at that show? Or were you keeping tabs on it? And you were kind of thinking, all right, there's some issues going on here. If my number is called, I feel like this could really work out for me if the Buccaneers come calling. Were you keeping tabs on it, ready to go, or was it like? Whatever.
No, yeah. I mean, because we go back to control what you can control.
Sure.
Whatever they do on that show during practice, it has no bearing on what I can do.
Yeah.
If the Bucks call me, I'll be ready. That was the only way that I was thinking about it. And to be honest with you, I don't watch Hard Knocks.
No, it makes complete sense.
Fair enough. And it just goes to show you how, like, being a kicker can actually be quite a lonely position, because they showed the rookie defensive tackle Harris, he was kind of giving a bit of grief to Aguayo. He was like, you're gonna miss wide right, and you could see Aguayo kind of walking off with his head down. Is that something you feel like, is it, you kind of, because it's kind of a mysterious position. Kickers come on, they make their kicks, hopefully you're sticking it over the bar, they kind of disappear to the sidelines for a while until their number is called again. Is that, do you kind of feel like the special teams guys are their own little unit away? Or, I mean, obviously you're a part of the team as well as everybody else, but it can be a real polarizing position. You know, when you're making those kicks and you're winning games, everybody loves you.
Yeah.
If you're missing a kick or two, it's like in Aguayo, unfortunately in Aguayo's case, he was
like chunk,
he was the villain of the team almost, and there were guys giving him grief. Is
right.
Again, probably you control what you control, and that's putting the ball over the bar.
Yeah, look, it is a lonely position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm great crack, so I can entertain myself. But no, you know, myself and the punter and the long snapper, we have our group.
Mm.
And during practice, we're able to chat to each other about, you know, if we have field goal that day, okay, we need to get to work at this time in practice. We got enough time to warm up and be ready to go when it's time to go. If the punter is punting and I'm not kicking, I'll toss the ball to him. I'll time it. I'll tell him where it's going.
Mm.
You know, so we are always doing something. We're always involved.
Yeah.
Maybe not with the offensive and defensive side of the ball, but in our own little world, our jobs, we always have something to do, or we can always be doing something. Basically, you earn respect when you make kicks, and you become a part of the team as a young guy when you do your job well.
Yeah.
And as a kicker, it's no different.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to go in there and do your job.
So at what point did you came in after Nick Folk missed 3 field goals against the Patriots, almost kind of costing the game when you look at the numbers. When did you really start to feel comfortable? You know, you're in the team again, you know, you're starting to make those kicks that needed to be made. When did you really start to feel, all right, this is my job now, you know, this is my job to have. I have the respect of my teammates, and they know if we're in a bind and we need Pat to put the ball over the bar, Pat's going to come on and get the job done. When did you really start to feel like, you know, okay, these guys know I can get it done when it matters?
This is not to sound cocky at all, but I felt comfortable as soon as I walked into the facility for the workout. There was no doubt in my mind that I was going to go out there and win that job.
Yeah.
And as soon as they told me, yeah, Pat, you're our guy, it was like, all right, we're back to working again.
And I know, like, visualization, they, you know, you look at Conor McGregor's meteoric rise to the top of MMA. He was very much adamant about visualization. When he was on the dole and he was getting €180 a week, you know, he was living, he's probably eating ramen noodles for dinner or whatever it was. He always had that dream. Okay, one day, and you look at the interviews, it's scary how accurate it was back in the day. He was like, all right, one day I'm gonna be UFC champion. I'm gonna have more money than I know what to do with. He's fulfilled both of those. He's become 2-time champion. Is that like? Are you a firm believer in, you know, strong belief, visualization? You had in your mind, I'm gonna make it back to the top again, and now you're at the pinnacle of, you know, professional football.
Yeah, well, I'm reading this book at the moment. It's called With Winning in Mind, and a lot of it has to do with reinforcing positive imagery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not about, oh, I missed that kick. How did I miss that kick? Why did I miss that kick? Mm-hmm. Let me go back and think about how I missed that kick. No, let's take a kick that you made. You did everything right. Let's build on that. Let's mm-hmm. build on the positives.
Yep.
Because if you go out there on the field or in the octagon with a negative thought or a little bit of a, I'm not too mm-hmm. sure, you've already lost.
Yeah. And I guess you see golfers all the time, they have like psychologists.
Yeah.
It's because they're standing over those 2 or 3 foot putts. Yeah. They have those what they call negative swing thoughts, and that's when they start missing the 2 or 3 foot
putts. Guys get the yips all the time.
And you play a bit of golf as well, right? Have you been playing a bit in the off season or
it's been snowing up here, so I haven't been able to.
The putts have been a little firmer than they used to.
Yeah, yeah.
So you try and get out when you can.
I can, yeah.
Just to take our mind off football for a while and swing a different limb for a change.
Yeah, and to me it has a lot of similarities when it comes to kicking. You know, you control where the ball goes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing everything right, the ball is going to go where you want it to go. Same in kicking. You know, yeah, the snap has to come and the holder has to put it down, but those guys are going to do their job. The fact of the matter is I still have to swing my leg through and kick the ball through the upright. So for me, I have fun out on the golf course because I know it's so similar to kicking and I have such a similar mindset and I enjoy kicking. That golf is just another translation of that.
And to that point, like, do you find that, you know, in the game itself, like, I know a lot of players, like, we've kind of seen, like, stratified into two groups. Like, some are very serious during games. You know, they're always visualizing the next drive, and they kind of are unapproachable. And some guys are actively just having fun because, you know, this is a game we all grew up playing, and we love it. Where do you kind of find yourself fitting in during a game in that sense? Because I know, like, obviously, there's certain parts of the game where you know you're not going to be called the next second versus certain parts where you know you are. And, like, kind of how does that mindset shift during the game?
My mindset is serious. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm there to do a job. I'm there to work. So when it's not my turn on the field, I watch. Because when are you going to get another chance to watch Aaron Rodgers that close? You know what I mean? So I'm a fan on the sidelines to an extent. But at the same time, I'm always clued in because they could throw an interception. We can return it for a touchdown. I got to go kick the extra point.
Exactly, yeah.
So for me, I'm always turned on. And that's just the way I've always been, and it's the way that I'll continue. Yeah, I know guys who do very well when they joke around on the sideline. They stay real loose. Yeah. But for me, it's just not that
way. I mean, I think that's a fair point. It's like to each person that your own approach in that sense. Yeah. But like kind of in the side of like also being a fan, like do you ever find yourself watching, you know, other people in the same position? So like you're playing against Green Bay, for instance. Mason Crosby comes up, drills a 50-yarder. Right. Like are you looking at certain parts of that and saying like, what can I learn from this guy? Or are you kind of like – you believe in your own approach in a sense?
No, I always watch guys kick. Mm-hmm. So I'll always stand up and get behind them and watch them kick. Not to pick up tips or anything like that, because during the middle of a game is not the it's not the time you want to be thinking, oh, maybe I should kick the ball like that.
Yeah, you want to trust the process that's gotten you to this point, obviously. Yeah.
I have a different way of kicking than Mason does, than Steven Goskowski does, than Morton Anderson did.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust my swing. Now, after the season, yeah, sure, we can talk about things, but during the moment, no, I trust the way that I kick the ball.
That makes complete sense.
So daily life as an NFL pro, most people, you know, they might have gotten insight from watching shows like Hard Knocks. They kind of see what guys go through. Most people probably have no clue what it's like on a daily basis for an NFL pro. Can you give us a small insight into, without giving away too much Buccaneer secrets or anything, can you give us a small insight into, you know, your daily life playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a kicker in the NFL?
It's a lot less exciting than you might think. So basically, you're up Monday morning, so you've just played Sunday, and you got to go watch film. So you get to sleep in that day. I'll probably sleep until 8 or 8:30 on Monday morning. Get up, get to the facility, have some breakfast, go in, get your lift in. That's normally your one of your heavier lifting days is on a Monday because you get the Tuesday off. Mm-hmm. You go in, you have some meetings, you watch film, bit of lunch, more film, home, have your dinner, and go to bed. Realistically, during the season, you don't have that much time to do much else. Mm. And at the end of the day, you're being paid to do a job.
Yeah. Mm.
So for the 17 weeks of the season, hopefully more if you make the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you want to be as focused as possible and just sure. go and do your job.
And some of the other aspects of being a pro, like you mentioned some of the lifts you do, strength and conditioning, nutrition, like do you... As a kicker, would you kind of be on like different? Would you be less? You have less stringent nutritional guidelines as some of the other players at certain positions. Like you said, you had breakfast in the morning. Are you allowed to have a few rashers and sausages in there, or is it like?
Yeah, well, we've got a very good nutritionist down in Tampa, and he kind of lays out what our diet should look like, how many calories we should be intaking at every meal, what you know, a guideline of what we should be eating. Is there room? Maybe, but for me, I tend to stay pretty strict. There's no drinking or anything during the season for me. I cut all that out. It's very, very, I try to be health conscious because if your nutrition's good, then your body's going to feel good and it's going to translate on the field.
Sure, yeah. And we mentioned in the preseason that a lot of guys for our teams, I think Eddie Lacy was on one, he had a weight loss incentive. Basically, for every 5 pounds he lost, I think he was getting 50 grand.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems so crazy to us. It's like, well, it's your job to be in good condition.
Right.
And it's like, you need additional bonuses just to weigh 5 pounds less. So, you know, you seem to be on the other end where you actually do take things seriously and you're kind of, you're keeping strict. So,
yeah.
It just goes to show you that, you know, some guys are a little bit looser around the edges when it comes to those type of things, which is surprising. You'd expect... You know, was he a first or second round pick?
Second round.
Like, I mean, this guy came out of college with high expectations, and yeah, he's going up to 270, 280 or whatever it was for a running back.
Yeah, but it's the same in all the sports. You know, some guys, they get to the show and they think, well, I've made it. That doesn't happen because the average career in the NFL is less than 3 years.
Yeah, it's like 2.5, right?
And for a running back, it can be even smaller.
Yep.
So you want to try and pay attention to yourself and take care of yourself for as long as possible because the saying is the NFL is just a head start. It's a good head start, but it's just a head start because a lot of these guys are going to have to work when they're done playing.
Yeah, and I think you see all these guys coming out, they were amazing athletes in college and they get to that level and then all of a sudden it's like they think they've made it.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't really made it, you've just gotten to the NFL. Yeah. The true challenge is actually staying in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think it's that maturity step that a lot of players falter on.
Well, you're also playing against grown men now.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're not playing against college kids.
Yeah.
You're playing against grown men every week, and you're trying to take food off their table. So they're going to come after you.
Yeah.
And if you don't take it seriously, then you know you could be out of the league.
Yeah, and I guess to that point, like I think we realize with a lot of like more like standard positions. So let me say like a quarterback, a receiver, things like that. After a certain like you know whatever many years it is of production, we kind of realize that they have staying power in a sense, like. You know, you play 4 or 5 good years of quarterback, you can remain as a backup in the league for years to come, things like that. Kickers, there's, you know, rarely a backup kicker that's actively on a 53-man roster, if at all.
Never.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, like, when do you, because like, we were looking at this and like we realized that you either have these perennial, like, decade-long guys who have just been with teams forever in that sense, or we're seeing a lot of shuffle. So, you know, Chargers went through two different kickers this year. Jacksonville switching kickers. Kansas City has an injury, has to switch kickers. And, like, a lot of things happen to that point. Like, is there almost a point that, like, and I know, like, you try not to think in this sense because, to your point, like, you want to have that perfectionist mentality that you're going to win that job every single year. So it doesn't matter about what's a natural, like, I made it point. But is there almost, like, talk or something you've heard about, like, you know, 5, 10, whatever it is, years where, like, kickers are, like, you tend to have more staying power? Or is it kind of just the same if you're making your kicks each year or you're making your kicks each year?
It's kind of a what have you done for me lately way to look at it. If you missed your last 5 kicks...
usually not in good spirits
usually
with the team.
You might, usually coaches aren't going to look too favorably on that. So there is no point where a kicker can get complacent, I believe. Now, if you're Adam Vinatieri, you know, then it might be a little
handful
different.
Of rings, you get a bit of leeway, you know?
Maybe. Yeah.
But you can almost give a handshake of rings.
Yeah. But no, for me, there is no five, there is no 10. There is, Pat, you better keep kicking the ball
And it's next season and next season and next season and keep proving to everyone else that you're as good as you know that you are.
It's not even proving it to everybody yet.
Well, like reaffirming it at least, yeah.
That's the way I go and think about it. I don't care what anybody else says about me. It's how I feel about myself, and when I feel good about myself is when I'm making field goals.
It's a great way to look at it.
So you mentioned you're a fan of the game. So a couple of questions I have for you. You played the Jets in, I can't remember what week it was, but you had a pretty strong performance.
Yep.
I think you hit 9 points. And I think I even tagged you on Instagram. I was like, shout out to Pat Murray sticking 9 points over the New York Bar.
Thanks.
Growing up in this area, did you have, like, were you a Jets fan growing up? Or you have mates that are Jets fans? Like, my dad's a Jets fan, I'm a Giants fan.
Right.
So he wasn't happy when I told him that you put 9 points over. He wasn't happy about that at all. You got the game ball, I'm pretty sure, after that game. Did you have friends texting you going, what are you doing, man? You're beating the New York Jets? Or is it just another day at the office for you?
It's just another day at the office. There was no extra incentive. It doesn't matter who's on the opposite sideline. I have to go do my job.
Do your job, yeah.
Were my friends a little bit, you know, at odds? Because they were like, yeah, Pat, make it, but... Oh, we lost. Yeah, there was
like make the field goal so that we can go and score a touchdown and we still win the game.
Yeah, there were a couple of Rockland GAA lads down there for the game as well. So
good stuff.
Flying the flag. So
good stuff. Do you get many Rockland GAA people at the games? Are you able to kind of spot them out? You probably recognize the jersey.
Yeah. Well, there was four of you down there, and then two of my buddies who played here came down as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and anybody's welcome. Just come on down.
Yeah.
Grand, I'll be looking forward to me free tickets now when the first game of the year starts next week.
I never said the word free. I said
we never said free. Too much, but
the second question is about you being a fan. We have the Super Bowl. We both live in Boston, which is hard for both of us because we're not Patriot fans. at least being a Giants fan, you're one of the few people that can give a bit of trash talk to Pats fans because... The two Super Bowls. Bucks fans, not so much.
Yeah.
Have you got a team in mind that you think is... Do you think the underdogs, the Eagles, going to go all the way? Or does Tom Brady add to the collection?
It's hard to bet against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, what they've been able to do, himself and Belichick and all the other guys around him, has just been, astonishing. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's the best guy to ever play football. Mm. Hands down, there's no argument. Don't bring up anybody else because it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Be hard to see them losing. But then again, Nick Foles showed us when it comes game time, he can play. And that defense, they took the Vikings offense apart.
Entirely out of it.
Chris Long was playing like a guy possessed. So.
And he'll want to do one on his old team as
him
well.
Him and LeGarrette
Blount. Yeah.
Playing right against them too.
I don't know how I feel now, having seen the Vikings offense, and now Pat Shurmur is the new head coach of the Giants. I'm kind of like, really know how to feel after that.
How'd you feel during the rest of the season? He did all
right.
That's
pretty good.
That's
it.
True. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But again, you said, what have you done for me lately? Well,
there is a
he
lot
hasn't
of
done much for me lately.
There
but
is a lot of that, but then again.
He did have a good resume.
He had a very good
absolutely,
resume.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think to that point, it's hard because you want to look at that point and to say that's a game that quickly got out of hand. And I think a lot of mentality is maybe not the best position for it. When you're down 24-7 after being up 7-0, there's a lot of, awkward looks to the side, what's going on, finger pointing, what's going on with this. And it's hard to keep everyone as united as they once were. So to your point, I wouldn't get down on Shurmur for just game there.
No. You mentioned about Tom Brady, best player, I agree, best player of all time. My friends say, you're becoming a Patriots fan now that you're living in Boston. I'm like, no, we just appreciate the guy, what he's done for the game. Bill Belichick the same, even though he started winning rings with the Giants, I'll always bring that up.
Well, I say you had to appreciate that part.
That's where you learn how to win Super Bowls. Do you look at, you're a fellow pro, you look at someone like Brady, and the NFL is designed to have some sort of kind of equality with the salary cap and the way, the kind of bad teams 1 year get the higher draft picks. How is a team like the New England Patriots able to just, 50% of the Super Bowls the last 16, 17 years, Tom Brady's been in. Just absolutely crazy record. What are they doing that other teams can't seem to find that formula to just be successful year in, year out?
They talk a lot about the Patriot way, and it's just do your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they want you to do is just do your job. And Tom Brady, I think everybody can agree, makes average players look great.
Absolutely.
And everybody falls in line with the way that they do things. They're up in New England. If they didn't, then they wouldn't be as successful as they are. Mm. So maybe it's just a matter of they get the right guys in there that know, okay, this is my job. This is what the team needs me to do. I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to try and do anything crazy.
Kind of along the culture point, too, I was curious as we were coming up here, is that you've been at kind of, I think, two very interesting points of the Bucks for, like, your two seasons, which is you came in the first year where it's Lovie Smith, it's Mike Glennon, and Josh McCown going back and forth playing about half the season each, to now, you know, third year Jameis Winston, Dirk Cutter. Like, there's a big change. You went from first year of the GM to now fourth year of the GM. And, like, how would you say the culture has kind of changed over that time as well? Because, like, to that point, like, everyone's hoping to get to that staying power of a team like the Patriots. And I think it is really built through something like that culture. So, like, what have you kind of seen to that point?
I think the culture in our locker room is fantastic. You couldn't find a better energy guy, a better leader than Jameis Winston. I mean, his energy is just infectious. It's really cool to be around, and he's a guy that is the ultimate competitor. You know, and it trickles down to every guy at every position. Even the rookies this year, a lot of them stepped up and played a lot of really good football.
Yeah.
And I think that's a product of the coach having faith in them, Jameis pushing everybody to get to the same level that he's at. And I think that's just going to continue, and it's an exciting place to be a part of.
What are some of those things that Jameis does, though? Because I think, like, that's something that's missed to all of us as fans, is that, like, you know, we see what obviously happens on the field, and while we know that Jameis can be there and motivating the offense, and when you're on the sideline, like, having that time to talk, like, it's hard to see him having that impact on every person, which I hear all the time that he does. So, like, what are some of those things that he's doing kind of behind the scenes?
The best example I can give you is the minute that I walked into that facility, he came up and said, "How you doing, Pat? Good to see you again." As soon as it was announced that I was going to be the starting kicker, he came over, gave me a big hug, and said, "Let's get to work. Happy to have you back." So that's the kind of guy that you can get behind. That's the kind of guy you get excited to play
for. He has your back straight off the bat.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it makes you want to play for, the, like, not just him, but, like, you play for that team that, like, makes you. Exactly. That's great.
All right. Well, we hope to see it in a Buccaneers jersey, putting all the balls over the bar in the 2018 season. Will we give a quick review of our beer before we wrap it up?
Sure.
It does actually taste like it was brewed by pirates. It's called Pirate. I'm not mad about it. I'm an IPA guy.
I don't know
guy.
If that's a good or a bad thing that you said.
I'm gonna give it Belgian ale. I'm gonna give it like a 6.5.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a 7. I think it's a good one.
Okay.
But before we end off really quick, I know you're saying, like, hard to bet against Tom Brady, so your pick would be Patriots.
We didn't push you for a prediction.
And let's push you for a score.
A lot of our Boston friends now are probably watching this, so you got
to
be careful.
For the reference, we miss basically every time we say any of these. So by comparison, you're guaranteed to be at least as good as we are, if not way better.
Mystic Pat over here. I'm going to say Patriots 31, Eagles 24.
Okay. Sounds like a good game then.
All right. Pat, thanks a million for coming on and chatting with us. Great to finally have you on. Really great insight into, you're actually our first NFL player on the podcast.
So it really has been an
It really
awesome
is like the perfect, you know, you combine Ireland, GAA obviously, football, which is basically what we're all about. So we really appreciate you taking time out to chat with us, and it's been great. We've come to New York, Rockland GAA here, a lot of people here watching. It's great to basically see where you kind of you grew up kicking footballs, and just want to say thanks very much again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks
so much.
And that will wrap it up for this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin with Pat Murray. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a fantastic time down here in Rockland GAA. The guys looked after us very well. Really fantastic hospitality. A credit to the GAA. So I hope you enjoyed listening to our interview with Pat. We are heading down to Orlando, Florida this week. The Paddy Pigskin crew was hitting up the Pro Bowl. So make sure you stay tuned to our social media pages. Check it out. We're going to have some video, hopefully some interviews with some players, record some of the practices for AFC and NFC. We're going to hit up the fan village as well and then check out the game on Sunday. So, yeah, Paddy Pigskin hitting Florida this week. And stay tuned next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care.